Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. With me is my co-host Ray and my co-host Jim.
Hey guys.
And we have two special guests to add on to the show. First, we've got Aaron from Smite Club Project Mayhem.
What's up?
And Robert from Smite Club Project Electric Boogaloo.
Booga, 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 booga.
Nice. All right. So this week we're going to focus on the Las Vegas team tournament. I appreciate all three of our guests, Jim being a regular co-host, but all of you guys pretty much got back today from Vegas. So it's fresh in our minds, as well as you guys must be exhausted. So I appreciate being this late hour and recording with us. So overall, what were your impressions of the event?
I had a great time. I love the team format. I wish there was more of it. It just adds another layer of complexity, I want to say, challenge, just more things to think about, getting your team into the right pairing, and just the team aspect and camaraderie really makes the event a lot more fun, and I would like there to be more team.
I know for me, this is my first foray into actual team events, and just my first actual true FLG event, so for me it was very awing, to say the least.
Jim, you've had a lot of experience with the team format. Do you have a preference, teams versus singles?
I mean, they're two different. It's two different games, to be honest. Just to echo, I don't know if that was Aaron or Robert that spoke first, but just to echo what they had said. I had a great time. I really do wish that there were more team events in North America. It's something I feel like is not as popular as in the European scene. I think the ETC definitely made team events very popular in Europe. And for North America, it's definitely less of a like thing, I guess. Obviously, we have ETC, which is kind of the one big team event, but that's basically the only real team event of note annually. So I'm hoping between the LVTT and ATC next year, and hopefully a few more TOs kind of get the hint that, you know, this is a really fun format and a lot of players like it. I guess to answer your question, like teams is such a different, it's such a different type of event. So to give you guys an example, I went 1-5 the weekend. Like I lost almost all my games and like that was totally fine. And that was like by design, right? So I spent the weekend eating matchups that no one else wanted and losing games.
That was my day too as well.
Yeah. And like mm-hmm. that was part of my role. And, you know, I never would go into if I went 1-5 at a normal event, I'd probably just stop playing Warhammer because if I'm not at that point. You know, in the teams environment, you know, sometimes you got to take those losses. And you know, it was great to, well, first of all, just speaking on my own personal behalf, this is the first event I've played since LVO in 2020, like real event. So this is almost 2 years, just shy of about 3 or 4 months of 2 years since I've played an event, and being able to travel and go and play in a Warhammer event, seeing everyone, I got to obviously run into like obviously the guys from Brohammer, like John and Richard who I know, and Nick, but also just seeing guys like Don and like Ben and all those other guys, Kenny, those guys, like there's so many people that I got to see that I hadn't seen in like almost 2 years, and that was really nice as well. So just from a personal note, it was really nice to kind of catch up with everyone and just get that, like, I don't know, just hang out with the boys, I guess, for a weekend. I think that was something that I've sorely missed. And for me personally as well, it was really good to get some games in a competitive environment. And one thing I did want to kind of point out, and I know there's obviously some teams that didn't do as well as others, but there was no like easy matchups. There was no easy rounds. Like every team we played was challenging, was difficult. Like people don't travel lightly with five other people to like Las Vegas for an event with like awful players. Like almost everyone was bringing like good solid teams. And so I really want to dispel the notion that like there's like, you know, whereas a singles event, you might have, you know, as we call them, the baby seals. There's no seals in an event like this, right? Every team is like a hard team, is a hard round. So I really found that fun as well.
Yeah. I can feel you on that, Jim, because my record was the same exact thing. My only win was round two against Harlequins. So
one of the things you guys mentioned was the pairing. We talked a little bit about that in the previous episodes. Being it's a strict win-loss format as opposed to the traditional differential system we see in most other team tournaments, How did that affect your guys' pairings now that you are free to talk about your discussions on how you decide to pair?
Yes. So my team just implemented a basic matrix, just like a one through five, five being like you should always win the match, like with very few scenarios where you don't, and one being, well, this is a terrible matchup, keep me away from it, I will lose this 99% of the time. And I had each team member fill it out for like each matchup for based on mission, based on the opponent's factions, and tried to pair them as best we can. And there was the occasional like, hey dude, I gotta throw you under the bus for the team, but there's that. But like, as for the differential versus the win-loss, I didn't miss the differential as much as I thought I was going to. I definitely prefer the differential, but like when you get there and you're playing, it's just like, hey, this is what we're playing now, that we're going to make this work and we're going to have fun. And the team camaraderie just makes it that much better. You don't want to let your team down. Like, we were towards the top the whole weekend, and like, the pairings were like, as for me as a captain, like being my first real foray into the pairing and the team format, like at a big level, it was a little extra stressful. And like, my main focus was just getting like everybody into a good pairing rather than worrying about myself. So
I know for all of my rounds, it was kind of all gut feelings, just going, okay, I know who is probably going to win all their matchups, but I know all of us are probably going to get our faces punched in for all of our losses, so differential would have sucked for us. But it was definitely intriguing after the first round of me floundering it and getting lucky on my pairing.
Jim, I know you were talking about it last week about getting all the last minute gathering up lists. How were you able to prepare for your
It's really funny. So my team, someone made a joke. I can't remember who it was, but that it was weird that I was on the team because almost everyone on my team is like 6 feet, like three, like 250 pounds plus. Like, I was surrounded by giants, and I was like this little dude, like team captain, screaming at them all to fill up matchups. Spoiler alert: none of them filled up matchups. So I had a matrix built, but basically we were doing matchups basically live before the round. So like, we'd get our round assignments, and then I would kind of take them through the lists, and we'd go through the matchups as quickly as I could. And we just I kept it super simple, color coded, because I was dealing with children. So it was like red, green, and yellow being like 50-50, depending on maybe who goes first on the mission. And then just red if they're, you know, not feeling good, and green. So I kept it really simple, no math, no nothing, just nice, easy colors. And, you know, I think that was like, and the other thing too, is like, I was unpracticed. I'd played one game with my list, and just in general, I haven't played a ton of ninth. Robbie, who is our Custodes player, had literally picked up that army for the event because he plays Marines normally, and we already had a Marine player. And, Anthony, who plays Orcs, although he's played lots of Orcs, he's never played that list, and I don't think he's played any of the new book at all. So he was very kind of green on the list as well. So we kind of went in with a very green team. Sorry?
That was a good pun.
I was just thinking about. So in general, the team, like, you know, I was super proud of how everyone did, and I think a lot of it came down to matchups. And I don't want to take too much credit for it, because ultimately the players have to tell you. And, you know, we had a very tough round one against Advanced Warfare, I believe, which is Matt Root's team. And I think they went on and only lost to Art of War, so they were kind of like probably one of the top two or three teams. But after that, you know, I think everyone kind of got hit their stride and started to understand like what I was asking of them. And I think ultimately, as far as the differential is concerned, you know, if you look at the scores across all the matchups, there's probably only like maybe a dozen or so rounds where differential would have made a difference. Like, there was a few rounds where a team won two of the three games and ended up with more battle points in their two games than the other team did with three games, even though the other team won three of those five games. So the fact that it was just win-loss draw made it so that even though the other team ended up with, say, like, you know, 200 battle points versus 150 battle points combined or whatever for the other three wins, the differential only made a difference. I think differential probably comes in a bit more play in like an 8-man tournament where there's more variance and there's more room for variance. The one thing I will say, and this is kind of where I still hold the criticism that I prefer differential, is what differential does is it's not just about the game, like who wins the round, but it's also about the meta, right? Because when you're playing in a 0-100 system like we are, you're rewarded for just scoring lots of points, right? And not every list is built to score lots of points. Some lists are meant to just not give up lots of points and just have small wins. And in the kind of system that this is, those kinds of lists aren't encouraged, because those kind of off-meta weird lists, those like defensive blocker lists that are kind of classically known in like an ETC format, those just aren't needed, because you're never trying to score low. You're never trying to hold people to low points, because it just doesn't matter. You're trying to get as many points as you can, and hopefully that's more than the opponent. And so my biggest criticism of it isn't like that it changes wins to losses, but it just how it kind of adjusts, how it shifts the meta. And you know what we did see, and I don't know, Robert and Aaron, if you guys like agree with me, but almost every team had an Admech Drukhari sisters, like of those three, basically like two to those three, almost everyone had, like, you know, there was, you know, an orc, or like the lists that do well, it really just pushed the meta towards the newer books. And there's very few teams that actually brought older books, and it showed in the winning teams. If you look at their team composition, almost all the teams that did really well are 4 out of 5 brand new books, and 4 out of 5, like kind of the top meta books. And I think that's something that the differential system can kind of push away from, because we know that those new books score so easily. So that's just my kind of overall thoughts on it.
Yeah, that's something I can actually agree on, because I was our Custodes player on our team, and I had one game against Dark Eldar where I kept him to a 73 and made it really, really hard for him to get that way. But that round we ended up, I think, losing our match winning game by like 2 points. It was going to be a really close thing, but yeah, it's differential probably would have made that round a little worse for us in the long run, because all of our scores were kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and it especially hurts, like, you know, my Grey Knight games, I kept within about 10 points. So I'm taking bad matchups, and we're taking bad matchups. And for anyone out there on those teams that's taking bad matchups, in a differential system, what your goal is in that case, it's not to try to win the game, because you know you're not going to win. You're in a red, right? You're in a one. Your goal is to hold them to that aggressive aggro team to as few points as possible. And so there's this own meta game within the game of denying them points and holding that aggressive that aggressive army that gets 100 points, 95 points every game to a 70 point, just like you mentioned, Robert. So that whole metagame of trying to do that just kind of goes out the window. Like, you just don't care about that. And that actually, I think, is important, because if I'm going to be getting if I'm going to get dumpstered in every matchup because I'm getting the reds, but if my goal isn't to win, but just to hold them to lower points, then even when I lose, I feel like there's something that I'm trying to accomplish, and it feels like there's something for me to play for. Whereas when I'm going into a red, and really it doesn't matter how many points I get because it's just win loss draw, it just really removes a lot of that, like, I guess, incentive to like to push as hard as you can, and to kind of play that game in a certain way. And it sucks to be that guy that gets put in the red matchup, and at the end of it, kind of feel like there was nothing you could do and you didn't contribute at all. You just ate a bad matchup and you lost, and that was all you basically did.
Yeah, like our Necron player on our team round one got fed into a 27 orc buggy list, and he had the worst time of his event ever.
It's important to get, there's always going to be a matchup that it just doesn't work. You try to get the best for the team, and it's hard, you know, and it's trying to motivate the team and all that. Aaron, what do you say to your teammates when you give them that red matchup or that one matchup from your matrix, and how do you keep the guy motivated to keep going?
So we were all, I was very upfront with that. Let me start over. I was very upfront with my team, like before the event, like, hey, there may be situations where I have to put you in a less than favorable matchup for you for the team. And it was a perfect example, like round 5, like I basically fed Steve, our Grey Knights player, to Team Zero Comps Junior, who was playing Dark Angels. I'm like, hey, bud, you got to take this one for the team so the rest of us can get the pairings we want. And basically the whole round, like, Zero Comp guys was like, you guys outpaired us. We thought there was no way you were going to take that matchup. And you took it, and it messed up our entire pairing. So we were able to pull out the win for that round because Steve took one for the team. So
it's job there.
They were Yeah, I was very upfront with my team before that that may happen. And Steve took it like a champ, and the team came out on top for it.
Because who did the Zero Comp guys want to put their Dark Angels into?
Or the Drukhari?
Oh, yeah, the Dark, yeah.
I don't remember. It was something they wanted to put into the Grey Knights because they wanted to keep Drukhari for later. They just put that into them because, like, they didn't think that we would ever take that matchup because based on what Dan, our Drukhari player, was saying, it's like there's no way Grey Knights win that matchup based on his experience. And I guess Zero Comp felt the same way, and we took it, and it messed up their entire strategy for the round.
One of the things also we talk about, the motivation, just Jim, take this please, was a sign of praise. But you mentioned you guys lost your first round. You didn't just lose the first round. It was a sweep 0-5. What was that conversation like between rounds to get you guys going? Because you won the next five straight.
Yeah, well, I think a big part of it was just everyone just getting comfortable. Some of us had, I had never played Orcs before. So I played Matt Root, who's an excellent player, GT winner, LVO winner, Adepticon winner. I think he's won LVO anyways. He's one of the probably better players in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing Orcs. I've never played Orcs. I've never played the buggy list. Like, I have no earthly idea what I'm doing. Robbie, same thing. He's like, yeah, I think I can take Grey Knights. I have a 6+ Feel No Pain versus Mortals. Yeah, bro, it wasn't enough, trust me. So each of us were kind of getting into our stride, hitting, like, kind of playing unfamiliar matchups. And in the end, like, I think what it did, and this is a conversation I always have with the, I had this, like, really big heart to heart with everyone, because this happens in every team event. And Chris Haynes, who's the captain of the WTC Team Canada team, he tells us this all the time too, which is if you think that you should win the matchup on paper, but you haven't played the matchup, or you haven't played that mission, or you're not as familiar with the army, even though, like, two average players who have the same knowledge of the game, that list will beat that other list because of the fact that there are these gaps in your knowledge. Like, you just haven't played that matchup. You need to be more conservative with your estimation. So oftentimes when we're doing matchups in the on our WTC team, someone will say, oh, well, like, Orc should always beat Necrons, right? But if the Orc player's never played Necrons ever, right? Just because Orcs beat Necrons doesn't mean that when you play Orcs, you're going to beat these Necron players, especially at the caliber that we're playing. So these players, like, these aren't, as I said, there's no seals there, right? It's not like people that are going to just hand you the win. You're going to have to fight for every win. So the biggest conversation I had with the team after was like, look, you guys need to stop over. Because this is the thing. You should have seen our matrix on the first round. Everyone's greens, right? Everyone thinks that they're going to win every match against every army list. And I'm like, guys, are you sure? Because ultimately, and I'm sure Rob and Aaron, like, I don't play those armies. So when my player says, hey, that's a green or that's a five or whatever, I have to trust them, right? You know, I might ask them a few questions and maybe, push them a little bit harder on it. But ultimately, if the captain can't trust their players to give them accurate predictions, then the whole thing falls apart. So the biggest conversation I had with everyone is, like, you guys need to be way more honest about how you're going to do in these matchups. And if you haven't played the matchup, then don't say you're going to win it, because you're not. Like, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how good you are. Yeah. If you've never played the new Grey Knights and you're playing a brand new army, just because that army might on paper beat that army doesn't mean you will. And that is something that I had, like, a really intense conversation about, is, like, you guys need to stop being so overconfident, always be more conservative. And I think they're being very, very, they're being a little overconfident with their original pairings. Like, our original matchup, it's like two yellows, everything else is green for everyone. I was the only one that was, like, mostly yellows and, like, one red, one green. Like, because I'm just used to, like, being very, like, I guess, conservative with my predictions. But everyone else was like, yeah, oh yeah, we'll beat them, greens, greens, greens. I'm like, okay, guys, like, if you say so. So that was the biggest thing, the biggest mentality change. And then the second thing is just playing one game with your list, and getting into that, like, mentality, and that, oh yeah, this is actually a very competitive event. These guys are, the people are here to, like, play. I think everyone kind of just woke up a little bit, because John Damaris, I love him, great guy. he came up to me before and I like laughed out loud at this. This is the comment. He's like, yeah, someone said we're like probably one of the top two teams here. And I just started laughing. I was like, dude, your jokes, like we're like not even top 10. Like we are, I'm so out of practice. He's never even played the Army. Anthony just had a kid and he's barely played his Army. Like you guys didn't do any of your matchups. So there's no prep work that's been put in. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, whoever said that to you must have, you know, found something to snoot in Vegas or something like that. Like, I was like, they're just completely out of their mind. He's like, no, but you know, like that's the level of like delusion they had almost coming in. And I had to really kind of bring them back down to earth. So.
Yeah. So, going back to what Jim said about being overconfident with their pairings, this is a lesson I learned back from ATC 2 years ago. We had an issue with our teams. Like, yeah, I'll play anything. I can beat that. I'll play anything. So,
gee, I wonder who said that.
it's actually the whole team. So, but we'll get to that one particular person later. Jim was the benefit of that. I'll get to that later. It's like, he's like, yeah, I can date Jim, but we'll get that later. But yeah, we had a conversation about 2 weeks earlier in the event. I'm like, hey, I don't want to hear any of that. I want to know exactly what's going to happen. If there's a scenario where things don't work out the way you want, I need to know about it. You need to be very upfront with me about it. I don't want anybody to ever say to me that I will play anything. So that conversation was had and like everybody understood what was happening and that what I expected of them. And also, Jim, I didn't mean any offense by what I said.
No, like just to give an example of how, what kind of rebellion and attitude I had to deal with. They said I was being a try hard because I wanted them to do matchups. So that was the kind of like, they're like, yeah, don't take this the wrong way, but you're the only real try hard on the team. I was like, okay guys, all right, thanks. I was like, I'm just trying to have us like make us like have a good event where like we're slightly successful, and because I've got a few spreadsheets and I've given you guys a bit of homework, all of a sudden I'm like literally the devil. So but yeah, you know, at the end they were like, hey, thanks for kicking our butts, because it worked out, like my harassment.
Yeah, the expectations on our team like did not really match the work put in. For the most part, is for the team format, but we were able to wing it a bit and put some stuff together and did well.
Yeah, I think I got really lucky with all of my teammates because we were all like, yeah, no, we're going to go in. We're going to get our butts kicked, but we're going to be fine because we're learning. Because Mark, our sister's player, just finished the Army like 2 days before the event. Our Necron guy was super out of practice, and just me, Tim, our AdMech player, and our Dark Angels guy, Donovan, were the only ones that had any sort of practice. And it was like, all right, well, hopefully if we're going to win, it'll be at least those two and one random. Like, not a lot of high confidence, but hey, we went in just to learn.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Just quick, one thing you guys mentioned, we talked a lot about paper matchups, faction matchups. How much of it is also looking at the players in terms of, okay, because one of the nice highlights kind of got buried in the lead a little bit on day one. You know, Nick Nottavati had a rematch against Tony Crepando, first time since the big incident at LVO, mm-hmm. I guess 3 years ago. How much is that where you're just like, yeah, on papers is a matchup, but dude, you've never beaten this guy. Does that ever come into the mind of the pairings?
There was one round for me where Tim, he got pulled into Grey Knight's game, and he was like, welp, I'm going to lose. He ends up coming back and winning like 97-31 or something like that.
So no disrespect to any of the teams that we played, but we actually didn't pair into Ignize until about round five. So that was an issue for us until like we get paired into zero comp. We walk up to the table and Dan just starts calling out Frankie.
Nice. Yeah, I think for me, like, first of all, I mean, people forget it's been like almost 2 years since we've been doing events. There's a whole new generation of 40K players out there that are really good that like we've never heard of. that have been practicing for the last year and a half since the start of ninth or eighth, whatever, at home. I look at Charity Hammer, some of the people that rolled up to Charity Hammer as a good example. Like, there are some players there that, like, people are like, who is this person? They're just destroying everyone. So, I definitely feel like there's this, I mean, for me personally, I am never like that. I never get, like, I don't want to say starstruck or whatever. I take every person I play like they're, you know, the best player in the world, because I just don't know. And I've played enough people both in real life and on TTS. You know, I've played so many people on TTS, like in Germany, in Poland, in some of these countries that have very, very high caliber players. You've never heard of this guy. You know, his name's like Boris Blekablesh. And he's like, okay, cool. Who's this random dude? And he's like literally like better than 95% of all the 40K players in North America, because he's like practices with like Team Poland, and he's like super, like, you know, he's super into it. And like, you just learn I've learned my lesson to never like underestimate people. With that said, I think to your original question, look, at the end of the day, the players still have to play those games. And if there is a big skill divide, it doesn't matter. The matchups won't matter, right? Like if there's a reason Art of War won, right? And it wasn't just because they had good lists. They did have good lists. Did they have the best list there? I mean, I don't know, but I don't think they had necessarily the best list there. There might be teams with better overall lists, or teams with, did they do the best pairings than everyone? I mean, I believe it. If John Lennon was their captain, I remember bunking with him at ATC last, and he had a binder full of matchups. So, and was forcing the Brohammer team to do matchups like into the night. So I do believe,
yeah, we were on the receiving end of that.
Yeah. Binder. So I do believe they probably did as much preparation as it takes to win. At the end of the day, though, you're still talking about five world-class players on that team. And even if they get a bad matchup against 90% of to 95% of other players, they're still going to win those bad matchups because they're just that good. And so, it really does take a combination of prep work, of strong matchup, and then just player ability. And those three things coming together is what's going to give you success. No one thing is going to carry you in these kind of team formats. But that holds true for singles as well, right? You need to know your opponent. You need to know how to play those games, and you need to, you know, just make smart decisions during the game. And, there's a reason those guys won. And you know, we're in Vegas, but sadly there was no bet to see who would win, because I would have put all my money on them. Like before the event even started, like, I would have given you 10 to 1, like a Vegas line that like they're gonna win. So so
we got sports betting here in Arizona, so we gotta set something up for you now. So it's like every, those of you who don't get that outside of Phoenix area, what is it, 4 out of every 5 commercials now is for sports betting. It's
pretty crazy.
It's worse than political season. It's unbelievable.
I will say one thing, and I just want to touch on that really quickly, and this is something that actually I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's something that Rob Symes from the Honest Wargamer has kind of got me kind of more excited about with the game lately. Is the game at the very high level is kind of broken. So like when you look at, look at the LGT that just happened this weekend with the AdMech Iron Hands, like the game was just, it was over in 30 minutes. And so it's not interesting. And so if you had asked me who would win a team tournament, I would have told you Art of War is going to go 6-0. And that's not that interesting to me. Like, I knew that. What's interesting to me is all the 5-1 teams and the 4-2 teams and how they did and what their lists were and their matchups and the individual players in those teams that went 6-0. That's actually way more interesting and exciting for me to like look at those teams, because those are the teams that I feel like actually like had to like do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Art of War, they kind of come in and they're so dominant right now that it's almost not even, it's like, okay, let's put that aside for now. And let's actually look at the real game, which is actually happening at the 5-1 tables and at the 4-2 tables. That's like that for me is like the real meta. It's not this kind of upper level super meta that the Art of War guys are playing. It is actually the 5-1 meta and the 4-2 meta. That for me is so much more interesting. And those lists that go 5-1 or 4-2, those are way more interesting to me, because those are often lists that aren't necessarily the best, but they're interesting. And I think that's something that we need to like recognize more. And not just the cream of the crop.
Yeah, like my player Jacob, our Necron guy, I think it was in round 4 or round 5, I think. He got really bad he had really bad luck getting paired into Admech, but the Admech player was unprepared for the mission. So our Necron player actually took that matchup against Admech and won us the round.
That's pretty amazing. So just, learning the whole area. And then there are a lot of more interesting, a lot of innovation too at that 5-1 level, 4-2 level. So anyway, let's kind of go round by round a little bit real quick on some of the highlights. So Aaron, first round was against Githammer. Looks like a pretty clean sweep, 5-0 in that game.
Yeah, I think they were just getting into competitive 40K from what they told us. We just outpaired them, not to be disrespectful or anything, but like we were more polished than they were, and it kind of showed.
And like we said before, if it's new to the team format, learning the pairing is another skill. And hope to see them back, and I'm sure they'll learn from it. Robert, for you guys, even though it was a loss, you actually scored more victory points or more battle points than your opponent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the big thing was is I know my match, I got paired into sisters because I had to take something from someone. And yeah, Battle Sanctum with Sacrosaints just hiding inside of it, not touching anything. Not super interactive, but I don't blame him because that's a valid strategy. Overall, that round was getting my feet wet, kind of pairing system, the not understanding how to pair properly.
Definitely a key there. Getting used to the system. Jim, you talked about it earlier in the round one, trying to rally the team. Hey, let's be more honest with our pairings, and it seemed to pay off with a big win in round two.
Yeah, and I just want to just say one small thing on our round one pairings. I guess of a more personal note, many of you guys may or may not know, but me and James Kelling, who's one of their teammates, have had some past history. And obviously, from my perspective, I have moved very far past it and would like to hopefully have all of us move past it. And when I saw that we were paired against them, I it was like the one team that I really didn't want to play this weekend just because I was worried about how like personal, history might interfere with not just the mentality of the pairing process, but also just the gameplay and just in general. I was trying to keep my head down and kind of stay out of everything. And as soon as I saw that and we got to our tables, I made sure to say hi to James and shake his hand and everyone on their team and make sure to introduce myself and did my best just to be a good sport. And I hope there's no ill will and we can all kind of move forward. I have no ill will towards him or any of his teammates. I know there's some there was some not so nice things said about me afterwards from some of his teammates regarding just playing our team. And, it is what it is. But, I just want to put it out there that from my perspective, I just want to move on. I have no room in my heart or my head for like hate or drama. So hopefully, their team felt the same way and they didn't go into it with any sort of like, malice or anything like that. But I played Matt Root, who's a great opponent, and I thought we had a great game. So shout out to him. He did a pretty good job, and I think everyone else had fairly good games as well. I know there's just one judge call in our first round, but that was due to a player mistake on our end actually that was needed to get resolved. And again, that was just due to like players not knowing their place. So I just wanted to say that because it was important for me to kind of to move on with our lives, I guess.
Glad to see that worked out because that seemed to be a long running misunderstanding. So it's more reason to get back out there and say hello to people. So that's glad you guys had that opportunity.
But yeah, we got trounced. I think it was a combination of mispairing. I mean, I knew I was probably not going to win my game, but we had expected Anthony to win his game. We'd expected John to win his game. He basically said he misdeployed and got alpha'd, which if you had heard John, as I'd mentioned earlier, how John was quite overconfident. He was probably the most overconfident person on our team repeatedly. Like when he telling me how good his list is and how like nothing beats it. And he proceeded to deploy poorly, let the Ultramarines player get a bunch of angles from his dreads after he got the Ultramarines redeploy going second and basically blow off half his army. And it was just like he probably still wins that game if he doesn't make that mistake. But it's just like that kind of like, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Carelessness, I guess. It can cost you, right? When you're playing really good players, small mistakes like that, they'll see that you've made that mistake, and they will punish you for it. And a lot of times, there's no coming back. So just keep that in mind.
Good point. Round two matchups look like more of the same. Some you guys turned around. Project Mayhem, you guys look like had a pretty easy win with that one, going 4-1 there.
Yeah, it was just I think we outpaired them again. The strategy we just sort of realized was just throw Steve out as a defender. Steve's a Grey Knight player. He pulled something. Everybody except for me pulled out the win. I just did a dumb because it was a slightly different Sisters list than I'm used to. I'm used to like the meta John Lennon style list. He changed things up on me and got the best of me, and I took the L for it. Made some dumbs, but moved on. Team got the win. Everything's good.
And Robert, you looks like took a nice rebound there in round two. So close match though, 372-361.
Yeah, that one. The Harlequins player, props to him for trying to not get caught up by things, but he presented a unit of Haywire bikes right in front of my Praetors. So, and he didn't charge me. So I stooping dove those bikes. I left one alive, and from there my bikes could just fly around the table. And basically I just I touched everything that I could with whatever I could reach.
Hey listeners, this is Raymond with the Extreme Honest Podcast, here to talk to you about KR cases. If you're like me and you're constantly looking for that better way to store your armies, then look no further than KR cases. That's right, this is the foam company known for their soft blue foam in the cardboard cases. They're a great way to mix and match whenever you're heading out for that next tournament. Just swap out those boxes, and no need to worry about switching the foam in and out. They're sturdy. The boxes help protect your models, and when you order, they come fast. The order is right, and for a better price than the other guy. So go to krcases.com, and when you place your order, be sure to mention the Exterminatus podcast.
So we move on to round three. Jim, looks like your team. Looks like. Yep, 4-1 in that particular round. And
I just want to actually speak about that game because I only got 29 points. People are probably wondering, Jim, why did you only get 29 points in your third game? I actually quit that game early. The opponent that I was playing was extremely unpleasant. And there was a situation where he was very argumentative right out of the gate. There was quite a few scenarios where he didn't understand the rules, and after repeated explanation, he didn't understand how pylons worked, didn't understand how consolidation worked, was doing a lot of things out of order, kept asking for takebacks. It was just a very frustrating first two turns of the game where I was just constantly repeating myself, constantly having to get him to fix his mistakes. And basically, I want to say he gotcha'd me, because I feel like that would be, that was my perspective, but the specifics, I basically asked him if he had a fight last ability on his chaplain, and he said no. So I caused me to make a few moves. Like I charged a unit that I didn't need to get an extra few points. And then obviously goes to his turn and he's like, oh yeah, I have armor of Russ. So I was like, well, you just said you didn't. And he's like, no, I said I did. And so there was a dispute over the facts of the game. That led to obviously a bit of a cascading effect on the, not just the game, but also, you know, it created a lot of tension in the game, and that escalated to the point where, you know, we had already won the round. My teammates had already won 3 of the 5 games, and he was being so unpleasant that I decided that I was going to reclaim my time. I was tired, and it was the third game, and so I said to him, "Hey, you know what? Don't worry about it." After his like 6th take back question, he rolled like multiple attack sequences, was like consolidating out of order, charging out of order, shooting out of order, going back in phases. It was like one of those things where it's like I was trying to be nice, but there's a point where you reach your breaking point with when you're playing someone where it's like you can't be nice anymore about it, because like they're literally like they're abusing it. And I just said, you know what, don't worry about it, you can have this game. And he got really, really upset at that. He didn't like the fact that I didn't want to continue. I was like, you know what? I'm just not enjoying myself. I was like, you win the game. I'm just going to go enjoy the rest of my evening. He then proceeded to call me names. at that point, I said, you know, I said, I've got 29 points. You can put it in there or not. And then I walked away from the table because I just wasn't willing to waste any more time on that human being. And I know I've talked about that in the past, this idea of like reclaiming your time and not playing games that you're not enjoying. In retrospect, I probably should have played it because I was in a team environment and I did feel like I let my team down because, you know, had those points made a difference in our overall placing, they didn't. I would have felt really bad. Like had I gotten like a, you know, a win there or an extra 60 points, but it was one of those games. It was probably my top four worst games I've ever played in my life of 40K. So having played over almost 200 games in 8th edition, that's saying a lot. So just wanted to address that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that. Aaron looked like another pretty easy round there in round three. Clean sweep 5-0.
Yep. We also kind of had a hearsay similar situation kinda that round where we heard that the team we played might have said some unpleasant thing and just kind of a little bit out for blood, maybe a little too hot. Calm down. They were great guys. I think we all had a good time. People vouched for them. So I think it's just it's water under the bridge. It's like, okay, we all had a good time hanging out afterwards. So, but yeah, as far as the pairings go, again, we were starting to get the hang of the pairings process, and I think we did pretty well again. Steve, our Grey Knights, I thought he was eating a bad pairing because he wasn't so thrilled about Knights, but he ended up winning that. Everybody else pulled out the W that round, too. So at that point, I think after that round, we were in first place overall. In fact, I know we were because in the lobby, Don showed me like our placing. And it's like, what? like flying a little too close to the sun. We had a good mix of flying too close to the sun and overconfidence going into round four.
Rightfully so, though, don't fence. Round three, if you're doing differential, you guys won 478 to 126.
Yeah. Ironically enough, the team that they played round three was the team we played round one.
Okay. Now, Robert, you guys round three as well. Another big win.
Yeah, I'll give it to Mark. He he pulled it out by a single point.
He did 58-57. Nice job there. So sometimes all you need just needs one point to win. All right, so round four. Aaron, I hate to pick on you. So what happened? So it's morning. It's breakfast. Hopefully Dan didn't make any bad decisions during the night. How'd you guys?
Dan went to sleep early.
Fantastic. I'm proud of him.
I think a pairing error fell to someone being overconfident whose name rhymes with Poussin. he's like, yeah, put me into Grey Knights. I can beat that. I'm like, Don, your army has a demon keyword, like, all over it. Like, all over the place. He's like, yeah, I got this. I'm like, that seems like a horrible idea. I got this. Are you sure? I'm giving you an out right now. I got this. I'm like, okay. And stupidly enough, I gave it to him, and he didn't got this. And then as a result, our matrix actually came out. I think we took three 50-50 matchups, they didn't really pay off that. I was eating Dark Eldar on Battlelines mission, and it's not a great mission for me to be playing Dark Eldar on, in my experience. So, I'm sorry, Drukhari now.
Thank you. You prefer the politically correct terms. That can be copyrighted by Games Workshop.
Dan paired into Admech's Six Flyers, and the guy rolled like a god. Like, I was playing on the table next to him. He's like, I got 16 shots, like, hitting on threes, wounding on fives, take 13 saves. Like, and this was, like, multiple times over. So he, like, killed all of Dan's incubi and, like, three of his boats on the first turn. And Dan, trying to be a wizard, tried to pull one out, but, like, the dice were too much. We just kind of aided on that one.
Hey, Jim, you guys on round four, you actually played some guys that we know very well, the War Room guys from Vegas. So they usually come to our Arizona tournaments quite often. So tell me a little bit about that round.
Yeah, I mean, I think pairings-wise, I ended up... sorry, this is round four or round five?
Four.
We played, it was Aurelio's team, I think. Yep. I got to play Greenwich for the first time, and that was an interesting matchup. I think one thing I will give advice to is don't listen to, and I love you, John and Adam, the guys at TFG Radio, but, and Adam, obviously Adam Solis was the head judge, but, I actually listened to one of their recent episodes and I can't remember which one of them was like giving a battle report, like a little tournament report. He's like, yeah, I took my Thousand Sons and I played Grey Knights and like, it actually went really well. And I think Thousand Sons, and I remember hearing it like literally a week ago and I was like, oh, I listened to these TFG guys on their podcast and they say Thousand Sons of Grey Knights isn't as bad as everyone thinks it is. It is as bad as they think it is. Like, I don't know who he was playing or how his game went, but having played two Grey Knight players, it's a tough, tough game. Especially if the players are of any competence, which of course they were. Aurelia is a great player. It was actually really funny. We had a small dispute over the terrain rules. And I was like, well, you basically designed the terrain pack. Like, is there any chance of me winning this argument? Like, is it even worth calling a judge? So we called a judge and I actually ended up being right. But there was basically a dispute over the dense cover keyword and how he was using it. I ended up winning the argument, thank God. Because it seemed, the way he was using it seemed outrageous to me.
Shooting? What is it? It's not that hard.
No, it's just like, so from my so he was basically he had basically backed some dread knights into dense terrain, so he had like the back of the base touching the dense terrain, and he was making the argument that since I can't draw a line to those back parts without going like, I don't like, there was some argument about like how even if I shot him from the front, then my shot would still somehow go through the terrain.
Yeah, like the toe backward. In argument,
but it was like his heel in. It wasn't even toe in. If it was the front of his base, I'd been like, of course. But it was literally the back of his base was like just touching, and he was like, well, if you're shooting at him from the front and you're not passing over the dense terrain at all, I was like, why would I get the penalty? He's like, well, because I'm technically in the dense terrain, even though like it just didn't make sense to me both intuitively, and the rules are not written that way. I could see how there's an interpretation of like if the way you defined drawing an unobstructed line to all parts of the base, like there's some version of this interpretation where he would be right. I didn't agree, and so I called the judge and they actually ruled in my favor, so happy day. I still lost the game. He played a great game, but yeah, just our team basically carried the day, as was the theme in most of the event, because I lost, as I said, I didn't win a game till round six. I was 0-5 going into round six, so spoiler.
So Robert, we got to pick on you a little bit. You're the you did not vote for differential, and this is another matchup, by the way. You guys only lost by 13 points as a team.
Yeah, no, I will take that bullet willingly, because again, not normal, new to team events, new to the idea of differential. I flipped a mental coin and went, yeah, no, best of five is perfectly fine. Yeah,
Rob, you're basically the worst kind of person.
I will. Like I said, Aaron, I will take that bullet. But yeah, no, this matchup was this was the round where I intentionally pulled Dark Eldar so no one else had to deal with it. And he actually scored 87, not like 70, but that's still something that I'm proud of, keeping him below 90 points, because it went for five turns. I still had models left on the table at turn five. So I was like, yeah, I'm doing a good job.
All right, it's a bit of a grudge match here, Aaron. Team Zero comp in turn five against Mike Club. Tell me a little bit about that matchup.
Oh, we just walked to the table. Everybody started calling everybody out. Dan walks up to the table and starts demanding Frankie's head. Junior was just like calling on people. I think he wanted Ben, maybe. I don't remember. And I'm like, Jordan owes me a revenge beating. We can do that. And half the team was like, you have teams into it, half team was not. So we went into pairings, went to a little bit earlier. I put Steve up for our first defender, Steve the Grey Knights, and they put Junior's Drukhari and someone else they were hoping we'd take instead. And we're like, Steve, you're eating one for the team, and we accepted the Drukhari, and apparently it threw off their whole pairing. Yeah, and then, so, to get into detail, in that one, it was funny because we each won two games, and then it came down to Ben, our orc player, and their admech player, like to the end. And well, they tied 44-44, I believe.
Yep, I'm looking at the score right now.
So, yep, we're like, crap, we tied. What do we do? What does this mean? And then, like, I believe it was, I actually don't know who it was. Someone told me to go check with a judge because we had actually won on differential points.
No, that was me. I came over to see how it was, and you told me that you had tied. I was like, you do know you win on most battle points, right?
So we went over to see Adam Solis, and Adam complained a little bit because he had to contact the BCP people to fix it because that's apparently how the team format works in ties. So he complained at me a little bit, and we ended up getting the win.
Nice. Jim, in your next matchup, you face the other half of Aurelio's team. So Stalin the Clock, those five are the other guys from Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And the guy I played literally almost a Mirror Grey Knight matchup. And yeah, I was like, because again, that was like my first game against Grey Knights ever was against Aurelio. Like, I've never played the new Grey Knights. So I learned a lot. And after learning it, I was like, I think I can do better. And I did. I think I kept it pretty close. I lost by slightly less. But just going back to the point about differential, like, those are the kinds of matchups where you really miss differential, because I probably keep those games to an 11-9 or 12-8. And a lot of they might be like 20-0s against some of the rest of my army. Because actually, although Thousand Suns don't beat Grey Knights, they counter them, right? They do counter them, right? In a way. So I do think there is some something to be said for where differential can feel really nice. But yeah, it was a really good match. Same thing. Like, I got to give a huge shout out to Mate. He was our Dark Eldar player. He probably had the most practice with his list and the most practice with Dark Eldar. He'd probably been played the most. And we fed him, I think, over the course of the weekend, he played 3 Admech, 2 Drakari, and a Necron. So we were just giving him outside of the Necron, we were just giving him the hard, brutal matchups. And he just performed and got points. And I think he won that game by 2 points, his game. And he won the game in the final round, spoiler, by also 2 points to win us the round. So both the last two rounds were on his victories by 2 points. So he was just super clutch on those really hard matchups.
Always key. Yeah, it's always the pressure when you got the overpowered list. Okay, you have to score. You have to win. So it's a different type of pressure.
If your Jakari player is not winning, then you're probably not winning.
Right.
Because usually that's an auto win. I would say if your Jakari and Admech player are losing, you're in bad shape.
So Robert, in your team in round 5, a 3-2 win, but also by only 4 total battle points. So
yeah, real tight matchup. Yeah, I was actually just going through all of my rounds because normally a differential draw is within 20 points, right?
Mm.
It might be different under this format because the 20 points, at least from the ATC format, was based on the 42 point score. Now we're up to 100.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what the gap would be now.
It'd probably be closer to 10 points, though, but even still.
Okay, because going through all of my rounds, our record, if we were using a differential, would have been 1 win, 1 loss, and 4 draws.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that round was a really, really fun round. My second Dark Eldar opponent was really fun. And this was the round that our Necron player Jacob took the win from Admech, because the player just wasn't familiar enough with the mission and got pinned in his corner. Yeah.
Yep. And that turned it around for the team. But so round 6, so those who were, as Jim mentioned earlier, Art of War end up beating N is for Netlist for the title. But it was a lot closer than I thought. So with 4 wins, but the points wise adds up. There were 1 or 2 big wins there at this point. So Robert, tell us about your matchup in round 6.
Well, we got spanked. It's easy to say, because literally they had the wild card of Death Guard, and I'm like, I don't know who to throw into this, because I threw myself out as first defender, and I went, yep, nope, give me that Death Guard list, I'll deal with it, and it came down to just not a lot of fun. Our Necrons got put into Evil Sun's Squigs. He got alpha struck really hard because he was forward by 1/2 inch. And everyone else, we actually had Mark, our sisters, end up going into Dark Eldar against the other team captain, Matt, of us. So that was woohoo, that was fun.
You mean that traitor?
I mean, I pulled
the 56 minutes, 1 second before that finally came up. All right, there we go. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, I showed up to the table and I pulled a Dan. I was like, no, give me Matt. I want to play Matt. Give me.
So Jim, you're probably thoroughly confused at this point. So Matt Baugh is actually, he and I are co-captains for Smite Club, but Matt decided to go to the team tournament with the guys he used to hang out with back in the Midwest. Most people from the Phoenix area are from somewhere else in the country. So we were giving him crap for the last 3 months now, 4 months, that he's not playing with Smite Club, the team tournament. So,
and thoroughly today.
Love you, Matt. So yeah, that was kind of the fun of the weekend. It's like, okay, where's Virtual Columbia versus the Arizona teams? All right, guys. Insane Clown Posse, Project Mayhem. Tell me what happened.
So Jim, I'm kind of curious. I haven't really gotten the chance to talk to like any other captains about the thought process. So I'm kind of curious what your thought process was going into our pairing.
Actually, give me 1 second. I'm just gonna grab my laptop so I can pull up my my matrix.
Okay, I can go make great podcasts here, and I can get my matrix as well.
Yep.
So
actually, never mind.
So Rob, you can talk a little more for a minute.
That's what editing's for here. That's why we don't do live stream.
I just realized it's on Google Drive, which means I don't need to go to my laptop. I can just get on my computer that I'm on right now.
I'm like, why? I'm holding it in my hand. Oh,
yeah. It's literally right here in front of me.
Hold up. Where'd my phone go? I'm talking to you on it. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let me just switch.
I'm actually excited to hear about this one because I didn't realize that you and Jim got paired for round stuff there, Aaron.
All right. I'm back.
Perfect.
All right. So. We actually, so funny enough, I had basically no greens in this matchup going to you guys. I thought all your lists would beat mine, including Grey Knights was a red for me, but all the other was a yellows, which were like, I don't know if I beat them. We felt that we, like, our matrix is not looking great, but I think, I can't remember what we opened with.
I think you put Drukhari down.
Did we?
Yes,
or,
you did.
Orcs. Was it orcs?
No, because I paired into orcs and that was like the leftover. Mm.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why I did that. I just, like, I felt like he had, Monte had the best matchups and, we were hoping that we could draw out some of the worst matchups for us. So, him taking the mirror match was, I think he had played like 2 Drukhari earlier. So he's just used to the mirror match.
Yeah, it looks like we put down orcs and Drukhari, and our orcs had a 5 against it. So you guys apparently correctly took the mirror.
Yeah. So yeah, and Mate's a red against the orcs, so that's correct on our end. We also predicted that he would lose against the orcs. So he was a green against the Drukhari though, because he felt his list was a lot better. And then I think just the general pairing with this was like, ultimately, I just knew I couldn't play Grey Knights, and we had to keep Rob away from the ad mech. Everything else we felt pretty good about, and keep Matty away from the orcs.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the Dark Angel pairing, and I think I win that like 99 out of 100.
Yeah, with the Dark Angel into the orc pairing, it was a yellow because we were like on Hammer and Anvil. On Dawn of War, I was like, it's going to be a twin cost. Whoever goes first is going to win that game. Right, he's got enough speed that you're not gonna be able to hide and null deploy, and you've got enough speed and range that he's not gonna be able to do the same either with all his stuff. You're gonna be able to blow off enough of his army with all that like shooting turn one. So really, for us, it was just like it was a yellow coin toss, and that's exactly what would happen. And I bet you, if you asked Ben, similar, like if the Dark Angels had gone first, that game probably turns on its head. And that's one thing that I really, really am starting to not like about 40K. And I know Games Workshop is gonna go and write their Meat Watch articles where they basically say that go first win rate is like, you know, basically 50-50 and that go first doesn't matter, da da da. But like certain lists, like if you look at the Admec Flyer list that just won LGT, if you look at the Orc Buggy list that has so much overwhelming speed and shooting, there are certain lists where like literally if they go first, it doesn't matter what table it is, they're going to be able to, like, you're not going to be able to hide enough and stop them from hurting you. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to be able to do so much damage that it's almost impossible to come back from. And that is actually, I think, a huge problem. And I think I would love to see a limit, like a rule of three on flyers in total. Like aircraft should just be 3 maximum. I'd love to see things like, you know, these units of 3-3-3 where there's like 9 of these bikes. Like there just needs to be some sort of cap on these kinds of spam lists where it's like, squadrons or vehicles. I don't think it's good for the game. There's a reason that we have the rule of three, because it makes the game a lot better. And for me, I would implement something like that, where like you can have three of the same of these models with the same keyword, or three of these like or a total of nine total in the army list, but you can't have more than nine. You know what I'm saying? Like just something to kind of tone it back a bit. Or they just need points hikes, those models. That's the other option.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't like those GW meta analysis articles at all. Like, I've seen the what was it, the one for their last GW open, like looking at that. So my job, like as profession, is very data driven. I look at graphs like all the time.
Yeah.
And like everything in their they had in their article was just making my eye twitch. Like, it was so misleading, like all, every step of the way.
Yeah. And I was a yellow into Dawn. I didn't know. I ended up going first, which I actually thought was worse than that matchup, but it ended up actually working out for me, because I was able to pick up his PBC turn one with just a unit of Terminators. People don't realize, like, those Scarab Occult Terminators with 30-inch range, plus one to wound, hitting on twos, rerolling ones, with two missile racks and two Soul Reapers at AP 2, it does a lot of damage. Like, it can do a ton of damage, and the lack of Feel No Pain on Death Guard really, really hurt Dawn, I think. Like, I was surprised by the damage of his list, but I was able to do enough early that he just wasn't able to kind of come back, and then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, Don, I believe, is our second defender. I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the matrix he put down right now, and I decided to listen to him in person rather than looking like what he put down. So on our 1-5 scale, he had you as a 2, but then he's like, give me Jim.
Yeah.
Give me Jim. I don't remember.
I think, you know what, and like, to Don's credit, and he said this as soon as we got to the table, he's like, I'm so glad we get to finally play. So I bet he's angling. He's probably like, and I'm glad I got to play him too, because, you know, we've obviously interacted a bunch of times, and we've chatted Death Guard a lot in the past on various like internet places. And so I was glad to just play him, because he's someone I've never played and I've had, you know, talked to a lot. But I can imagine there was some part of that where he was like, oh, I've never got a chance to play Jim. That's why you can't let them. That's why I say, like, match the list, not the players, you know?
Yeah, so then I believe that forced Admech. So I think John was your second defender, correct?
Yeah.
Archangel. So that would force the... so that forced me, Admech, and Ben Orcs. And, like, I had a 5 for the Dark Angels, and then Ben had a 3, and we were like hoping that you would take the Admech, because that would put Ben in the mirror.
Yeah, we didn't want to play the mirror.
Yeah, I assume that, because,
and I knew, yeah,
our orc player is Ben, so we had all the confidence in the world for him to pull out the mirror.
And also, like, I kind of knew you guys had Death Guard as your second defender, and then we put myself, and who else did we put into it? Was it the Custodes list, or was it the Dark Angels?
We got Custodes and Grey Knights, and Grey Knights was our first defender.
No, but like, who did we put into your Death Guard list? Myself and
you. It would have been Orcs.
Yeah, and we just figured, we weren't really sure where you guys were going to go there, but
yeah, I don't know if we do that. So Don's list can actually does pretty well against Orcs, so I don't know why we did that. Don just, you know what? Don manipulated it so he could play you. Yeah, so we have a 4 for Don versus Orcs.
Yeah, I don't know what Don's thinking.
Okay. And then, so what really should have happened there, so we were good with the first two, like our Drukhari Mirror and Custodes into Grey Knights, but I decided to listen to Don, like, in my ear. It's like, give me Jim. But, like, so what we should have done, I believe, would be accept the Orcs. It would have been Death Guard into Orcs, and then so it should have been you and me.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But again, it was a really close matchup. Like, two of the games were two of our games, I think, were decided between 4 points. Like, their Custodes player lost by 1 point, I think, and our Drakkar player won by 2 points. So it was a very, very close round. Like, I was almost evenly matched. Like, my game was a bit of a blowout, but I think, and I don't know how the Orc versus Dark Angels went, but it felt like a very close.
I have the pairings up. I know Ben won.
Yeah.
Ben got 97-63.
Yeah. So, but you could tell that we're, you know, I think the teams are actually pretty closely matched. I think with a bit of pairing changes, maybe you guys take that round.
Yeah, maybe. So I did learn this weekend not to listen to Don when, like, in the moment. Like,
I'm gonna remind you of that 3 months from now.
Well, so that's a lesson I know. I tell Don, like, all the time. So that was the conversation we had. He's like, I can beat Dark Angel. I beat Dark Angels every time. This was like 3 months ago when we were getting ready. I'm like, Don, you've played my Dark Angels like 3 times and I've won like all 3 and it hasn't been close. It's like, what are you talking? It's like, and then I know this lesson. It's like, damn it. Now I just want to yell at Don.
Well, I'm sorry. All right. So any parting thoughts before we kind of wrap up this episode here?
One quick thought. Always put your, so we actually won third best hobby, our team. And we came in 6th overall, and obviously I'm super proud of our team, like, given that we didn't really practice and that, like, everyone kind of given everyone's, like, state basically of like lack of practice and blah blah blah, I'm really happy with how we did. And but always put your army out for paint, because lesson will be, we got third best hobby. In the morning of the paint judging, my players were like, we don't think our armies are nice enough, we're not going to put them out. Me being the, you know, consummate hobbyist, was like, how dare you. You are putting out your armies for paint judging. I don't care if you don't think they're nice enough. And we ended up getting third hobby. So, you know, because I think obviously it's like an average score of all your paint scores. And I know me and Anthony has a really nice army too. It's commission painted. Mine's obviously nice as well. And then the other two were
spending an hour looking at Anthony's army. It was
me. And the other two are like, you know, they're not badly painted, but they're like probably like a 6 out of 10, right? So they're not going to win best painted. But the thing to understand, and this is the one thing lesson for everyone, is look, I think people vastly overestimate at an event like this, a very competitive event, how many really nicely painted armies there are. Now, when we're going to Adepticon and people like the Adepticon the Nova Army Showcase, or like some of the LVO, like, yeah, where there's 1,000 players and like it's literally like a marquee event. Yeah. And it's a singles event. Yeah. But even at an event like that, if you look at like Nova, there's only like 10 or 15 armies that make that like top army showcase where they like put them out and they do compete for best painted. Most of those players aren't there. So I would say actually, if they did a best painted award at LVTT, there's probably only like three to five armies that are like up there at that like higher echelon of paint standard. Everyone else is like getting that like 5 to 7 out of 10 paint level, right? So what that means is if you have 2 or 3 nice armies in your team and the other ones are average, you're actually probably still in contention for good hobby points. So like, don't think that everyone is bringing teams of 5 highly competitive players all with like armies that all win best painted. Like the guys from Dark Tower, who are actually a local, I say local, they're in Bellingham, which is about an hour south of me, but that's local for Canada. They're super nice guys, Noah and JT and those guys. And they have super sick hobby skills, and they're big hobbyists, and they actually ended up winning #1 spot. So well deserved. But you know, us taking third place, I was the only one in my team in the whole room. Everyone had like basically ditched the award ceremony, so I had to go get the award by myself. And I was like, where's my team? But yeah, always compete, guys, because worst comes to worst, you're gonna get feedback, and you can ask the judges, you know, for that feedback and figure out what you can do to get more points next time. So that's just my one word of wisdom for people.
Yeah, I would have submitted for hobby, but it would have been my paint score versus 4 zeros because no one else on my team wanted to paint score.
Yeah, I didn't give them a choice. As team captain, I vetoed them because they didn't want to have to get up early to set up their armies. And I was like, I'm sorry, but it's my condition.
Am I allowed to, yes. Eric, am I allowed to make fun of Derek on the podcast? I have a funny story about Derek's paint, but I'll tell you like off. A plan. You can edit that part out because
I got a couple of Jim's bleeps to add that to the editing as well.
Sorry.
It's not a podcast without you bleeping once. So in case you guys are wondering, the record, what's his name? Alan Pajama Pants there. I interviewed him at BAO. It's a 14-minute interview, 17 bleeps I had to put in. That was
ooh, so buddy.
Yeah, he was on fire. But anyway, so again, gentlemen, I appreciate your time this evening. We ran a little bit later than expected, but the content was excellent. Really good insight into how the event runs, the enjoyment, obviously the team spirit involved and all that. Hope that inspires other players who are listening to this. If not going to a team tournament, like you said, running a team tournament, because there's a lot involved in there as well. So thank you all for coming on. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
All right. I want to come back.
That's like a plan. So
I want more team events. Hint, hint.
In the meantime, we are gearing up for, once again, our 200th episode. We are two episodes away, so we're going to be planning something special and spontaneous because I haven't thought of anything as of this moment. So look for that in the next 2 weeks. Yes.
200 is next week.
It's mislabeled on this.
Is
it? It's actually 198. Yeah. Somehow we skipped it. Yeah. So this is only 198 when it comes out.
I went down.
Yes, we blame Don for this. Somehow his early dates with the podcast offset our it's kind of like the warp, you know, episodes move differently here at the Exterminatus podcast. But anyway, thank you all, gentlemen, for being on the show. Thank you to our listeners, and we'll be back next week. Talk to you then. See you.